Now, friends, we don't have a separate Bible reading tonight. And the reason for that is because we're looking at another one of those topics in the book of Proverbs that has its teachings scattered from one end of the book right through to the other. And that topic tonight is the topic of wealth. This afternoon, we're considering what the book of Proverbs says to us about money, possessions and resources, about those who have plenty and about those who don't, about the rich and the affluent, but also those who are poor and in poverty. And before we kick off, I want to say three quick things. First of all, the book of Proverbs says an awful lot on this topic. There are literally dozens and dozens of verses in this book about wealth and poverty. And so we're going to look at quite a few of those tonight. And the reason we're going to do that is because we're going to let the book speak for itself and reveal its own message about wealth and poverty. Secondly, Proverbs makes it clear that on the whole, wealth is desirable and poverty is not. And so, for example, in Proverbs 10 verse 15, it says, "The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor." And in 13 verse 8, "A person's riches may ransom their life, but the poor cannot respond to threatening rebukes." And so as we approach this topic tonight, we shouldn't be thinking that wealth in and of itself is evil, nor that poverty in and of itself is noble. That's not the message of God's word. And thirdly, we need to understand that when Proverbs speaks about wealth, it's not talking about those few people who are extremely rich and well-to-do. Rather, it's speaking about anyone who is financially secure, who's doing fine, who has more than they need. And you realize if we think about it this way, if we think about it honestly, and especially if we think about it globally, then we soon realize that this includes every single one of us. And so we should apply these teachings on wealth to ourselves. So let's consider what Proverbs says to us tonight about wise wealth. And we're going to think about this under two broad headings. The first of those headings is how wealth should be gained. And the second one, which we'll get to later, is how wealth should be viewed. So we start with how wealth should be gained. And again, we're going to divide this into two parts. The first of those is how wealth is gained according to the world's natural logic. So I'd like you to listen to these proverbs. Proverbs 10 verse 4, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." 13 verse 11, "Whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow." 14 verse 23, "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." Chapter 20 verse 4, "Sluggards do not plough in season, so at harvest time they look, but find nothing." 21 verse 17, "Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich." 21 verse 20, "The wise store up rich food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." 28 verse 19, "Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty." That's a very clear message, isn't it? It's a message that makes sense, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not. These verses remind us that hard work, diligence, patience, and moderation will usually enable us to earn and to save and to become well off, whereas laziness, recklessness, and self-indulgence will usually do the opposite. Or we could listen to Proverbs 27, verses 23 to 27, where some very practical advice is given to the farmers of that day. It says, "Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. When the hay is removed, a new growth appears, and the grass from the hills is gathered in. The lambs will provide you with clothing, and the goats with the price of a field. You will have plenty of goat's milk to feed your family and to nourish your female servants. My friends, work hard and work smart, and you will generally do well in life. You'll profit and you will provide, and your riches will last. That was good advice 3,000 years ago, and it's still good advice today. But there's more to the story. For whilst it is quite true that from a human perspective, diligence creates wealth, we need to remember that God is also part of this picture. And so there are a number of other proverbs that show us something a little bit deeper. Let's start with these. Proverbs 8 verse 18 says, "Wisdom calls out, 'With me are riches and honour, enduring wealth and poverty.'" 14 verse 1, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down." 14 verse 24, "The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly." 24 verses 3 and 4, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." These verses tell us that there is another way to gain riches, and that is via the avenue of wisdom. Ah, but then you'll be saying to yourself, that makes perfect sense, because wisdom, of course, tells us to work hard and to work smart, and that leads to wealth. And so this is really no different to the first point, is it? But it may be. Because it's at this point where we need to remember the underlying principle of the whole book of Proverbs, which says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if we want to be wise about wealth, then the very first step is not, in fact, to roll up our sleeves and to get stuck into the hard work. But the first step is to fear, to honour, and to submit to the Lord. So think also of proverbs such as these. 13 verse 25, "The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry." 15 verse 6, "The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings ruin." 22 verse 4, "Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honour and life." Or 28 verse 25, "The greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper." What we see here is that gaining wealth is not strictly tied to hard work. For here it is tied to something different, to righteousness, humility, and trust in God. And so this now transcends the world's natural logic. What we have here is what we might call God's unnatural logic. God says when it comes to being blessed materially, well, hard work is important, but being wise, righteous, and faithful is even more so. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, it says something that goes completely against the world's logic. It says, "The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it." In other words, the Lord can totally overrule the thinking of this world, and as a result, if He chooses to and has good reason to, then He can bless us with wealth without the painful toil. Another example of God's unnatural logic is found in Proverbs 11, verses 24 to 26. There it says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell Or think about Proverbs 22 verse 9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Or 28 verse 22. The stingy are eager to get rich and are unaware that poverty awaits them. Or 28 verse 27. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. Do you see? The world says, keep it all for yourself and you'll get rich. Help others and you'll end up poor. But my friends, that's not how things work in God's economy. According to God's unnatural logic, generosity in general, and especially generosity toward the poor and the needy, will lead to even greater blessings, while stinginess and hoarding actually lead to poverty and to curse. Yet another example of God's unnatural logic is found in the many proverbs that speak about wealth that is gained by the immoral. Again, the world's natural logic would say, and we know this because many people try it, it would say that you can get rich quick through crime and oppression and greed and dishonesty. And well, in actual fact, that's true. Think of Proverbs 11 verse 16, which says, a kind-hearted woman gains honour, but ruthless men gain only wealth. But then God also reminds us that ill-gotten gains, well, he has something to say about those, and he makes sure that they are short-lived. Listen to these verses, and there are many of them. Proverbs 10 verse 2, ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value. 13 verse 11, dishonest money dwindles away. 15 verse 27, the greedy bring ruin to their households. 20 verse 17, food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but one ends up with a mouth full of gravel. 20 verse 21, an inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end. 21 verse 6, a fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. 22 verse 16, one who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth and one who gives gifts to the rich, both come to poverty. And 29 verse 3, a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. My friends, these verses assure us that God overrules human logic, which thinks that crime can pay and that cheats can prosper. I guess if we lived in a purely natural world, then that might hold true. But we don't. We live in a supernatural world where the Lord is sovereign over all things. He is in charge. He's 100% in control. And he makes sure that immoral fortunes are fleeting and turn out to be a curse. And my friends, did you know that he even finds ways to take those immoral fortunes and use them for those in need? For in chapter 28, verse 8, it says, whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor. And so we see that our Lord is in fact the original Robin Hood. He takes from the immoral rich, and he gives to provide for the poor. So let's summarize what we've seen so far tonight. We're considering what Proverbs teaches about gaining wealth. And this book has told us that according to the world's natural logic, wealth is gained through diligence, working hard and working smart. And much of the time, that is exactly what God uses to provide us with his material blessing. But yet we can't leave it at that. For overruling the world's natural logic is God's unnatural logic. And he determines that wealth is gained by those who are wise, wise in the sense of honouring Him, those who are righteous, those who are humble, those who are faithful. And so the Lord can bless us with wealth, either with the aid of our own hard work or without it, if He so chooses. And on top of that, He has promised prosperity to those who are generous to the poor, while at the same time promising that ill-gotten gains will not last. So, having seen how wealth should be gained, we now move on to our second and final point, which is how wealth should be viewed. And this is so very important. My friends, this is what differentiates this sermon tonight from a prosperity gospel. You see, a prosperity gospel claims that physical riches, along with other things like health and success and self-esteem, that they are in fact the most important things in life and are the very goal of our faith. A prosperity gospel claims that God's main purpose is to make our earthly lives better, and that our level of riches are in fact a direct indication of whether or not we are in His good books. But is that really the message of Proverbs? Well, this book certainly tells us that God often blesses His people with prosperity. And we know that's true. We only need to look at ourselves. But it also tells us an awful lot more. And there are four lessons that we want to draw out of the rest of this book tonight. And the first of those is that wealth can cloud your vision. Think of Proverbs 28, verse 11. It says, "The rich are wise in their own eyes. One who is poor and discerning sees how deluded they are." This reminds us that sometimes being rich can go to your head. It can make you think that you're more clever, more important, more powerful, more secure, and more blessed than you actually are. And the poor, it says, can see that hypocrisy. And so if we are wealthy, and we are, then we need to work hard not to become deluded by our own riches or to lose sight of greater realities. We need to work hard not to let money and possessions take center stage in our lives, because that would be the height of foolishness. Now, the second lesson is that wealth comes with great responsibilities. Listen to Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." This verse tells us that if we have wealth, then we are called to use it to honour the Lord by giving for Him. In the Old Testament, that meant tithing to the temple officials in order to provide for the priests, to maintain the temple, and to care for the poor. And in the New Testament, our calling is similar, but now it revolves around the church, providing for those working in ministry, maintaining our property, and caring for those in need. And you know, it is that last area that Proverbs really emphasizes over and over again. Proverbs 14, verse 21. "It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy." 14, verse 31. "Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God." Chapter 19, verse 17. "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward them for what they have done." Chapter 22, verses 22 and 23. "Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life." And 29, verse 7, "The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. My friends, if we have wealth, and we do, then we have an extremely, extremely strong responsibility to use it for the benefit of the poor. I think sometimes we think of this as an optional extra, but it's not. This is God's message. He wants us to care for the poor. He wants us to care for the poor in our church and in our community, whether we do that personally or through our deacons or through the city mission. He wants us to care for the poor in our world, whether that is through the support of organisations like World Transform or IJM and a whole host of other relief and mission organisations. Friends, we need to understand that if the Lord gives us riches, then His purpose in giving them is not for us to keep, but for us to use. To use for His kingdom and to care for those in need. Now the third lesson is that wealth is not the most important part of life. And the book of Proverbs describes this to us through a number of contrasts. Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold." Or chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, "Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." Chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, "Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred." Or 16, verse 8, "Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice." Or 16, verse 19, "Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud." Or 17 verse 1, "Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." Or 19 verse 22, "Better to be poor than a liar." Or 22 verse 1, "A good name is more desirable than great riches." Or 28 verse 6, "Better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse." Do you hear what these verses are saying to us? They are saying, what's the point of having wealth if you also have turmoil and hatred and strife in your life? What's the point of being rich if that also means that you are foolish or proud or deceitful or unjust or perverse? These verses remind us that it is far better to be dirt poor and yet have a life that is full of wisdom and the fear of the Lord and of love and of righteousness and of humility and of peace and of truth and a good standing before God. And so the point is that while wealth can most certainly be a great blessing, it can also be a great curse. For wealth can make your life miserable. And even more seriously than that, wealth can draw you away from the Lord. And so if you're rich, and we are, then I urge you to consider, at what cost is it really worth it? But now lesson number four, and this is our last one. Lesson number four is that wealth cannot save you. And I'd like us to think very carefully about these verses. Proverbs 11 verse 28. "Those who trust in riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf." Or chapter 18 verses 10 and 11. "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it a wall too high to scale." or chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust in your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. And finally, what I think is the most important verse of all, chapter 11, verse 4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Do we get this message? Wealth and riches come with an enormous temptation attached. The temptation to depend on them. The temptation to think that with them everything is going to be all right. The rich can imagine themselves to be secure, to be safe, to be saved. But how wrong they are. Riches can so easily be lost. They can fly away, and even if they don't, they will do us no good on the day that we die. And so the lesson is that we should never trust in our riches, but only in our righteousness. Only a right relationship with God will make us truly thrive and keep us totally safe. Only a right relationship with God will deliver us from sin and from wrath and from death. And how do we attain a right relationship with God? Well, my friends, not with money, but only by faith in the righteous one, in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, on the day that you die, the Lord will not be looking at the size of your bank accounts, or the extent of your property investments, or the dimensions of your house, or the total of your net worth. Proverbs 22 verse 2 reminds us of this. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. And 29 verse 13. The poor and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives sight to the eyes of both. The only thing the Lord will look at on the day that you die is whether you have recognized your own sin and unworthiness, whether you have put your hope in the blood of His Son and Him alone, and whether you have responded to Him, whether out of your poverty or out of your wealth, with a sincere and humble desire to love Him. But now I'd like to close with one last passage from the book of Proverbs. And I think this is a beautiful passage that truly sums it up so well. These words are a prayer in Proverbs 30 verses 7 to 9, and it says this. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far away from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. My friends, the book of Proverbs has told us that wealth is gained by diligent work. That's the logic of this world. But yet the Lord can overrule that with His own logic, blessing those who fear Him and are righteous in His sight, blessing those who care for the needy, and He makes sure that the riches of the wicked come to naught. But the book of Proverbs also tells us that there are far, far greater blessings in life than mere money and possessions, than the fleeting joy and security of physical things. Let's never be seduced by the allure of riches, but instead let us realize that we have them for a reason. We have them to bless those in need. And as we hold our material things more loosely, my friends, we will realize that there are far, far more important things in life. And those are the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have found salvation from our sins, restoration with our God, and everlasting hope. So let us indeed seek to have neither poverty nor riches, but what we need. And may that allow us to focus more clearly on the Lord our God, to trust Him, to serve Him, to experience the wonder of His grace and the security of His love and the joy of knowing that we are His and He will care for us forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the book of Proverbs. And Lord, we thank you that it is such a down-to-earth piece of literature because it speaks about things that affect all of us. And Father, we know that all of us are affected by money and possessions and all those things that we have spoken about tonight. Lord, we recognize that they are part of our life and that none of us can live without them. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to think about the message of Proverbs and to take that to heart and to respond to it tonight. Father, we thank you for reminding us that wealth comes through hard work. That is the Christian work ethic. But yet at the same time, you overrule that. And so you can choose to bless those who haven't worked hard, if that is your desire. But at the same time, you can take wealth from the wicked, if that is your desire too. Lord, help us to realize that at the end of the day, you are in control, and we are not. Lord, that we are not able to decide what will happen with our wealth. But Father, we pray that we would see the far deeper things in this passage. Lord, that we would remember that wealth can delude us. And Lord, we pray that you would keep us from that. That we would not be tempted to put our trust in material things. But rather that we would learn to trust in you and in you alone. And Father, as we do that more and more, we pray that you would enable us to become more generous toward those in need. Father, we know there are those in this world who have nothing, and we have so much. Father, it's almost obscene. Lord, help us to look at ourselves and consider how we can help those in need. And Father, we pray most of all that you would draw us to yourself, that you would give us neither poverty nor riches, but that you would give us just what we need, so that we are able to put our full attention on you. And Lord, as we do that, may we know you more nearly and more dearly, and may we trust less in the things of this world. Father, we pray all of this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.